Most of us know the joy and love an animal can bring into our lives, but for the Williams family, their cat is giving them so much more. When Susie Williams and her family went on a holiday to Fiji, the last thing they thought they would bring home was a kitten. I caught up with Susie, who told me all about Natty, the wonderful things she brings to their lives and the lessons she's teaching her family.
Susie, I've been so excited to meet you and talk to you about Natty. I just think it's a beautiful story. And when Chrissy had told me about it, I kept getting goosebumps every time I thought of it. So I'm really excited. And yeah, you're a woman, a good woman.
People, when we tell them, they laugh. They're like, "You did what?" But of course, that's what we did. You know, it's not like We're not like, "Oh, wow, that's amazing." It's a bit crazy. But yeah, most people think that they're shocked. And I'm like, "Well, but we did because we can."
Yeah. Oh, look, it's when we first arrived over there and driving, you know, out to the resort, it's almost a bit shocking. It's confronting, isn't it? Seeing stray dogs walking along the road and they're full of mange, and it's different seeing it in real life than seeing, you know, hearing about it or seeing photos, isn't it?
Yes, but I think because was it raining when you were there?
Yeah.
I think it's worse in the rain. And we were there 4 years ago. I was pregnant with Valerie, and admittedly, we didn't leave the resort. I never saw that 4 years ago. So I don't know if it was worse because of the rain. And also I think post-COVID, there seems to be a lot of people who I think just put their animals out. They couldn't feed them. And instead of going down the correct channels, maybe just because of a lack of education, they just kind of rejected them. And then I think there's also a lot of people, foreigners who were living there, and I've read stories of people who left their dogs in the care of someone and then that person didn't care for them. So I think maybe the problem has gotten worse with COVID.
Mm.
Not totally sure, but I definitely didn't see it to that extent 4 years ago.
Yeah. And Susie, like we were talking when we caught up yesterday briefly, we were talking about the lack of education, and that's all it is, isn't it? Because the Fijian people are just so beautiful and so kind. And I guess, you know, many of them haven't been taught the way we are taught over here, you know, in countries like Australia. And I've been thinking about this a lot too. I know that there's a lot of stray animals in Australia, and I always worry about them and try and support, you know, those organisations, and those people in Australia are doing an amazing job. But there is a really good support base which isn't there in countries like Fiji, is there?
Exactly. I think I was told to me that there's zero government support in Fiji for obvious reasons. So I think as well that adds to the problem, whereas I think there's a little bit more of maybe some of the organisations in Australia can maybe access government support. I could be wrong about that. But I know there's just nothing in Fiji at all. So I think that's one of the differences as well.
Mm. But also in places like Australia, we're educated to look after our animals and how to look after them, aren't we? So the people come together to support those organisations, even if the government support is lacking. So
exactly, yeah. And, I mean, it's a shame because even in Australia where we are so educated and we do have more means at our fingertips, we still have heaps of animal neglect and cruelty and things like that. So that's maybe something to be a little bit ashamed of.
Yeah, it's a problem. And I look it out, we have four dogs here and they are so spoiled, but I came home to them and I was so grateful for them that, you know, that they're safe and they, you know, come and go inside the house as they please and they sleep wherever they want and they're fed well. And
yes.
Yeah. So, Susie, tell me the story about Natty, because it's ironical how all this happened. So I just want to share with everybody. So I had an appointment when we got back, and I was the second person into that appointment. And when I went in there, I happened to say to the girl, I've just come back from Fiji and I'm so sunburnt. And she said, oh, the lady I had in here just before, she's just come back from Fiji too. And I said, oh, really? And she stayed at the Intercontinental, and oh, so did we. And they took their family, so did we. And they went horse riding one day, and I said, oh, so did our kids. And then she told me this story, and I thought, oh, I really have to talk to this lady because I just love stories like this. So please share the story of Natty.
So we got to Fiji, and we came in Monday night. So then Tuesday we woke up and it was drizzling with rain, which is not ideal when you're on a beach holiday. And so we decided that on that day we would do the hair braiding and take the kids for the horse ride on the beach, because they're kind of two things you can do when it's, you know, raining. And my two middle girls are learning to ride. I don't ride and my son doesn't ride. So we had four horses and I had my four-year-old in front of me and I was holding on to her. And Lola was riding alone and Delilah was being led and Ezra was being led. And we had a man who was leading and we also had a boy who was maybe 12. And we paid for, and this was through the village economy, I call it. So it was the local people who had their cabanas on the beach. And we paid for the full ride up to the very end of Nashadola Beach and back. And we were, you know, the horses were slow, the sand was soft, and I heard this, and I looked down and there's what I think is a cat, a kitten on the sand, but she's completely bedraggled, she's sopping wet, she's crying out. I now know cats, we also have a cat, but I now know cats cry to humans, they don't cry to each other. The vet in Fiji taught me that. So I screamed when I saw her because the horse nearly trod on her and they stopped. And then I screamed, there's a cat. And he kind of looked at me, the boy, the 12-year-old kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And then the man said something to him and he picked her up and he pretended to throw her into the ocean, like it kind of went like that, and I screamed. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, you know, I don't know what I screamed at him, but anyway, the man said something to him. And so he kind of walked up to the top of the beach above the high tide line and he kind of threw her under a palm tree. And we resumed. And I'm on this horse, my own horse ride, and I'm holding on to my four-year-old and it's raining and I'm like, was that a cat? Was that some kind of a mutant cat because it looked like it had no hair? And why would there be a cat on the beach in Fiji? And I'm not in Australia and what am I going to do? And what if I take it back to the hotel? I'm staying in a hotel and it seems so tiny. What will it drink? It probably needs its mother's milk and I don't think I can get that special kitten milk. And what do I get? Where do I get the kitty litter? And was it that even a cat? And, oh, my God, how do I get off this horse? And what do I do? What do I do? And I'm looking at my son and he's just like wide-eyed looking at me and my husband was ocean swimming laps. And so then I'm like looking back at him and he came out and he came over and he said, what's wrong? And I said, I think it's a kitten. And she was on the beach and I said, she's back there. I know it's crazy, but please can you just go and have a look? And he said, yeah, where is she? And, you know, we've gotten quite away now. And I said, where those kids are swimming, that palm tree, it's okay. That palm tree, I think she's under there. And he said, yeah, I'll go back. And anyway, we get off the horses and then we're just kind of lingering there at the cabanas. And then my husband is coming back up the beach and I know that he only had his red like pool boy thing, then I can see something blue under his arm. And I'm thinking, geez, he has that count. That was a, it was, and he has it. And the kids are saying, Mama, he's got the count. And they ran down and he's got her wrapped in a shirt that, although there were lots of clothes and things on the beach, a boy, when he got to where the children were swimming, a boy had asked him kind of what he wanted, and he said, I'm looking for the cat, and he set up under that tree and then followed him up, and he gave my husband his shirt, although wet, to wrap it in. And so there's this tiny little white face, you know, looks half dead, and he's like, I got it. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, it's a kitten. She's like, she was so tiny. And so we took her, and some of the first people in the first cabana, because the cabana economy is very funny. I don't know if you know, but they have this whole whoever gets you first is you are their client for your whole stay, right? They've got it all worked out. And this, the first cabana had us for the hair braiding. And then when we got to cabana number four later, the lady said, I braided your hair when you were here pregnant with that baby, right? And I'm going, oh, really? Did you? And she goes, yeah, you're wearing an orange dress. And I said, I'm like, well, I did have an orange beach dress. She pulls out a photo of Delilah and I from 4 years ago that I didn't even know was taken. And she uses it on her Facebook, right, to advertise her hair braiding. So now we're even though these people braided our hair this morning, we now belong to these people because they had us from 4 years ago. So it's hilarious. So the first cabana, I said, there's a cat on the beach, and do you have something dry we can wrap it in? And she went to the car and got her baby's shirt, and they put it, you know, over Natty. And so now her little head is poking out of this shirt, and she's wrapped up warm, and we dried her off, and she had fleas. And one of my other thoughts on the horse had been, do they even have animal shelters in Fiji? Anyway, so now we've got her, and she's drying, and the kids are taking turns at holding her, and she's falling asleep, and I'm like, this cat is not feral. And she weighed 500 grams. She was tiny. She was so tiny. She had these big ears, not the best looking cat. And and I'm Googling, and it's, you know, it's kind of 3:30 in the afternoon, and I find an animal shelter, and I call, first mind blown, there's animal shelters in Fiji. And I call them, and they said, we are full. We're so sorry, we're full. And I'm thinking, okay. So I called the next one, which actually I thought was a vet. It turns out it was the vet with the animal shelter attached. And they said, well, we're full too, but if you don't have anywhere to take her, you can bring her. We close at 5. So the great village economy, as I call it, springs into that interaction and gets me a taxi, which was this crazy pimped, you know, car, someone's car, Levy's car, I now know. We negotiated a price, and I took Delilah, and it was an hour into Nandi, as you know. And by the time we got the taxi, you know, we're leaving, it's like 4:05, and I know they're shutting at 5, and it takes an hour, and I'm watching my phone to see how long the journey is, how long left, and I'm saying to Levy, you will get us there by 5, and he said yes. And anyway, we got there, and with, you know, 5 minutes to spare, and walked in, and he came into Levy, our Fijian man, the taxi driver, he came into, and so Delilah's got Natty, and there's bustling with people, just the nicest people in there, and I said, oh, I phoned, and, you know, we've got this kitten, and we found her on the beach, and the most beautiful boy, and he said, oh, are you surrendering her? And I'm like, I'm not surrendering anything in my head, right? But I kind of have to because I don't live here, but I can't. I'm not surrendering. I said, well, I, and then Casey Grimby came out, who is not a vet, but she started all these not-for-profit vets, and she has the one animal shelter. And I said, and Delilah, my daughter, is saying, can we keep her? Oh, Mom, can we keep her? And she's purring in the taxi, you know. And I said, I don't know. Anyway, so I said, I don't know about surrendering. And I turned to Casey and I said, it would be pretty hard to take an animal back to Australia, right? And she said, no, it's not hard at all. It's really easy. And I and I look at Delilah and I said, oh, but it would be really expensive, right? And she's like, it's like 2,500 Australian. And in my head, I'm going to convince my husband this is a good idea. And then I said, okay, well, I can't confirm. I'll have to talk to my husband. But, and she's like, well, here's the paperwork, and I'm a law student, and so I'm signing my life away, and I'm thinking, a year in now, I'm signing this thing. Once you've signed it, it's a contract, and I'm like, you're taking the cat home. And so we had to leave her there because we obviously were staying in the hotel, had no kitty litter, and at that point I was still like, what do I feed it? So we got it back in the taxi and you know, the hour back to the Intercontinental, and I'm thinking, okay, I've just got to offset the cost of this cash. Got to figure out a way to offset the cost. And so we've been going to do all these tours and they were really expensive. And then I get chatting to my guy, Levy, who's driving the car, and he's like, I can do anything you want and it's cheaper. Like, I'm not going to charge you per head. So we get back and, you know, this is Levy telling me he can take all six of my family in his five-seater taxi plus him. Anyway, we negotiated minivans and things, and we get back and my husband said, did we save a life today? And I said, what? You agree. You can take it back to Australia. And he's very super chill and, you know, he's an animal lover, and he's like, what's it going to cost? Well, I Googled it. It's actually 3,500 Australian. And said, all right. And, you know, the kids were so excited. And we changed her name. Oh, so when we did receive the email saying, actually, you know, we made a mistake. She's a girl. The children called her Natty after Natadola Beach, where she was found. And the lucky thing was that the vet animal shelter that we walked into, run by Casey, she happens to be the export expert in Fiji. So that's why she was just like, it's easy. And so, you know, I said, yes, we will take her home. And so it was, she's just running a well-oiled machine. And so she just had everything in an email, and these are the costs laid out. This is, you go to this website, you click on this, you do this, you know. So, yeah, that's how it came to be.
You know, what I'm thinking as you're telling me this story and how easy it is, I think Barry, my husband, is probably very lucky I didn't meet you and hear all about this before our trip to Fiji, because we might have come back with a few dogs.
Exactly. And well, look, people do it because she, yeah, people do it. Like, we're not the only ones. Tourists do it.
Yeah. So, Susie, how easy is it? Like, what's the process? Because you don't quite have her yet.
We don't have her yet. So what happened was on the Australian government made changes to legislation, which meant that there's an added level of paperwork required to bring an animal from some countries. And that's a biosecurity thing. I'm all for it because, you know, we live on a beautiful island. So whereas I think there were a couple of things, like whereas her permit probably would already be approved, because this legislation is so new, it doesn't technically come into effect until the 1st of March, but it affects everyone in the system because she wouldn't be in by the 1st of March. She'd still be in quarantine. So it affected us. It's that did slow things down. So once again, Casey Quimby in Nandi was so amazing when I flagged this change, because we were one of the first ones of, well, I guess we were the first one of her clients to come up against it. She just sprang into action, and it required this certificate from the government approved vet over there, which she got it. So that slowed us down. And then quarantine, I understand, is booked now until the end of April. So I spoke to the Department of Agriculture yesterday, and we have everything, all of the correct paperwork now with this added level in. They just need to officially approve it, and then she gets booked into quarantine, and then she comes. So in terms of it being so easy, you just follow the bouncing ball. You know, you have to get this before you can book the quarantine. They have to be, you know, obviously de-sexed and checked for rabies and things like this. So it's all just ticking boxes, and it's not being stressful.
And I guess having someone like Casey on your side, you know, that has your back over there, who can keep the wheels in motion, and like you said, she must be like a well-oiled machine. Where do they quarantine, Susie? Are they able to quarantine at the shelter, or do they have to go to a special facility?
No, so they have to go to, we only have one quarantine facility in Australia, and it's in Melbourne. Yes, so she has to fly to Melbourne, and then she has to fly to Brisbane. She has to be in quarantine for 10 days.
Right.
Yeah, I always thought it was longer. I thought it was like 3 months or something. I think maybe from some countries it is, but it's 10 days.
Mm. So where is she now in
so Fiji? She's currently still at the shelter. She got de-sexed, and then they've got an Australian vet nurse there, and she went to live at her place with her two cats until she could be put on the flight. So I don't actually know if she's still at the vet nurse's house or if she's come back to the shelter, because they'll send me photos and things like that. She's very affectionate. She's the funniest looking cat you've ever seen, but she's very affectionate. So she's, yeah, going between those two places.
Yeah. And Susie, you talked about the ripple effect and what she's taught you and taught your kids. So could you just share a little bit about the experience of saving her?
Yeah, so it became very obvious very quickly to my children, the level of, I guess, animal neglect. So that was the first thing, that awareness of those situations in other countries. And we talked about the possible reasons for that, you know, poverty and my lack of education and those sorts of things. And my husband and I had also talked about the fact that this is, you know, costing us a few thousand dollars, and that would it be a greater good to give that money to the shelter, right? Because let's just say in the end it will turn out to be $4,000. That $4,000 could probably go a long way there. So that's not lost on us. You know, we sort of thought about, is it selfish to just pick this one very lucky kitten? She'll be a cat by the time she gets here. Pluck her out and bring her here. Is that self-absorbed? And it turns out it's not, because, well, firstly, Casey, as soon as I walked in there and I said, oh, I don't know if I'm surrendering, that was her mission, you know. You can take her back. It's not that expensive. I think it was, if one can go, that's great, you know. But the ripple effect is that my eldest daughter, Lola, runs a dog hotel from our house. And so she created flyers, and, you know, we have a fully fenced yard and everything, and these dogs come and stay the night. And she charges $10 a night, and they sleep on her bed. One of them's a Kelpie. He's our best client. And so we've got, sometimes in addition to our dog, you know, we might have another two dogs here staying the night. And so she came to me, we'd probably been home 2.5 weeks or something. She came out for breakfast one morning, she said, and she saved up quite a bit of money. She also does a lot of jobs around the house for which she gets paid. And she came out and said, "Mom, I would like to donate $200 to Animals Fiji." And I said, "Oh, wow, you know, that's really generous. Have you thought about it?" And she said, "Yeah, I've been thinking about the animals in the shelter every night, and that's what I would like to do." So she's done that. And then she, we're not on social media as such, but I let her look at the Animals Fiji Instagram, and they had a very old post from last year where they'd asked if anyone was coming from Australia, did they have any old collars or leads, because they are just sorely needed in the shelter. So she's asked every person she knows. She's collected these pre-loved collars and leads. We've washed them. They're going to Fiji. She's also asked anyone she knows if they have any horse gear. So we've got 2 sacks of pre-loved halters and bridles and horse blankets, but now I have to figure out how to get to Fiji. I'm hoping maybe DHL or Virgin or Fiji Airways or something will maybe sponsor it as cargo. And she now has raised her nightly price because many people told her to. And so she now charges $15 a night with $3 from each night going to Animals Fiji. So she set that up. And this is not me, this is her. And then in addition to that, they've learnt, because we have been out to the RSPCA when we were looking for a kitten and we were very unsuccessful. It was really hard. You had to apply and a lot of them couldn't come to homes with children. And so they have been there, but that never stuck. For some reason, this has stuck. So now they are all about, you get a shelter animal. You know, they understand that there's too many puppies in the world and they understand why the cat is de-sexed and the beauty in taking someone that's already on the planet and needs somewhere to live, and they understand that now. So, you know, I think, and those ripples I think will continue to be further out as they grow. So in that way, that's invaluable. Like, I couldn't kind of teach them that just by telling them. I always talked about that, but because they've now been a part of it. And also we would go and visit Natty. They'd let us go out the back to where the animals were recovering, and they're all in their various cages. You know, one's been hit by a car. One, oh, my God, this puppy was skin and bone because their whole family had got poisoned by bad fish. And, you know, this, they finally, when they could actually physically move, they brought this puppy in to be treated. So now it's on a drip. So they've also seen all of that. And, yeah, I think that's invaluable.
Oh, just to have kids exposed to so much kindness and generosity at such a young age just sets them up for the rest of their lives. So what a great thing you and your husband and Natty have done for those kids. And I want to just talk about the Intercontinental for a bit, seeing as they were on cats, because I don't know if you noticed, but they have signs up, please don't feed the cats because we feed them very well. And they do, like, we saw quite a few cats there. One old cat one day came into this restaurant and we had seen him the day before. Some of them you can pat and some, you know, semi-wild.
Yes.
This old cat, and he was, looked like he'd been there forever. Anyway, came into this restaurant that we were at, and the lovely lady called him. He followed her over to the kitchen and I was watching, and she stood there while the, you know, chef's got a plate. A takeaway plate. Yeah. And then she took it and put it down in front of the cat and off she went. And so I think that's a great thing, you know, that they've been,
yes,
you know, those, they're being looked after than, yeah, they're wild, but they, yeah, there's some that come and rub around your legs and that, and some that run and hide, but at yes, least they're getting fed.
Yes. Yeah. And like I mentioned, Animals Fiji is going around, and the Intercontinental told us that they are going around and they're going to each of those major hotels and other parts of the country and gathering up the community cats, de-sexing them, you know, worming them, whatever, and releasing them again. Because there are no kill shelter animals. Fiji is that they, you know, if you're an animal in that shelter, you're there until someone comes and gets you. And Casey did explain to me that many of the animals around the place are kind of community animals. They're just fed by whoever, but they are helping as well by going and de-sexing these, you know, hotel cats and whatever else to help them out, and then kind of releasing them back to the hotel. So at least the cycle is broken, the cycle of, you know, I think they can have 2 litters a year or something. So the cycle is broken in part to try and reduce the numbers of stray animals. So they're amazing.
Yeah. It's a worldwide problem and you can't take on the world, but you can, you know, help where you can. So, Susie, thank you so much. I can't wait until you get Natty. I'll have to come and meet her one day when she arrives.
Yes, I'll send you a photo when she gets here, where every day the kids
are. The kids will be, you all will be just so excited, and I bet there'll be lots of tears when you get her.
Yeah, the funny-looking little cat from Fiji.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a lovely story. And thank you, Susie, for taking the time to chat. And I think it's well worthwhile. And I'll have to try to catch up with Casey now and hear all about her shelter and what the good work that she does over there, and maybe work out some ways that we can help.
Yes, yeah. I think if you look on their Instagram page, they're trying to raise funds, I saw, for this bus, so that they can convert this bus and travel around and educate and de-sex and things like that. So perhaps that would be one way. But, yeah, it would be definitely worth talking to her.
So what's the shelter?
So her organisation, her not-for-profit, is Animals Fiji.
I've been on their website, but I haven't been on their Insta, so I'll go onto their Instagram and follow them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Susie. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was so good to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to my interview. If you'd like to hear more inspiring stories, subscribe to my YouTube channel or my podcast and follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Life Journey TV.